Hey, Alan, we do our podcast then.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your daily lesson, Lessons from the Dojo for July 16th, 2018. I am your co-host, Master Patsy Zarilla, and with me as always, Master Graham Miller. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Alayla Blue. Yeah. Yeah, Viva
Oh
Fox.
My
Ooh.
God.
Okay, I'm so on the high, the World Cup high.
You are, huh?
I am.
It was a good World Cup, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You know even what? Though even though the final score was 4-2, that was a great game. Holy cow. I mean, that was just back and forth. And I got Croatia. They came to play and they gave it their all. That France was just too deep.
Yeah,
and,
just a good side.
And you know what? And a team like that, even though I hated Griezmann for getting that call, you know what? That's what good teams do and good players do. They make things happen.
Yeah, and you know, overall, the two things that came out that stuck out to me most about the tournament is. I was really happy with the overall play of the tournament. I thought it was just, with the exception of a game here or there, I thought it was just fantastic. And, well, three things, actually. The second thing was I really thought, you know, eventually the norms are going to come to the top, and it did with France, right? Eventually the better team just looked like they were the better team. And third thing I noticed was the whole VAR thing. I thought it was pretty well done, actually. I didn't think that there were many problems with it. I thought it was implemented pretty good. That being said, I think in 4 years, people are really going to learn how to take advantage of it. But I thought it was a really, really good World Cup.
Well, you know what? I think you're right. The VAR really, really helped. It made some great calls. It assisted, it helped the head referee. You know, I'm a referee myself. I'm a high school referee, USSF referee. And I'll tell you what, having that on the side, you know, being able to utilize that, I've never used it, but I mean, I know that when I look at those referees, what a tremendous help that is. I also agree that the level of play overall was very good. I got to tell you that some of those South American teams with those dives and those falls and the rolling around, I'm glad they got humiliated. I'm glad Neymar became a laughing stock of the internet, because that's hurt the game for years and years and years. And I'm glad that finally it's being exposed, because it's ridiculous. It's a man's game, you know. Get your, you know, like we saw with the hockey players. You know, you guys busted teeth and they're still out there playing. And broken arms, broken legs, broken feet. They're still playing. I mean, you know, a soccer player gets a little touch in the ankle and he rolls around screaming in agony. That drives me nuts. But anyway, but I thought overall, good level of play, good hard play. And finally, my third comment on this is that the USA deserves to be exactly where it is, out of the arena, out of the sport, out of the game. You know what? We're just like Canada. Look, we're no better than Panama. So, you know what? I think let Panama, let the Guatemalas, let the Costa Ricas, let those all those let them have the spotlight. You know what? We're it's a rich man's sport here, and it's a privileged man's sport, and we're just man, we're nowhere. We can't.
I agree with you, with one exception. Messi doesn't dive. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay. You know my feelings about that. You know my feelings, Messi.
I don't know why you're not a Messi fan. I mean, he doesn't.
I am a Messi fan. I'm not saying that I'm not a Messi fan. I think he's a great player. Great midfielder. I just like.
Goat. Goat.
I just like Mbappe better.
You know what, for this tournament, yeah, I am too.
Captain Kane. I like Captain Kane. So
you know what? I that's I know we want to move on a little bit, but I really think noticing how well England did this tournament, considering how young they are and how they didn't even get out of the group stage, the last one in Brazil. That's a side that really came a long way in a really short amount of time. And that's that they should be very proud of their effort. And the English people should be very proud of the club or the side that they brought there.
No question. No question. They did fantastic. They did their country proud. You know, it could have very well been England versus France in the final. I mean, that Croatian team was a tough team. I think a couple things were not stacked in Croatia's favor. One, they were fatigued. They were fatigued against England. That fatigue doesn't go away in a couple of days, even at that level of professional athlete. It just doesn't go away. So they were fatigued. But number two, I think if we've seen a fresher Croatia, I think it's a different game. I think England sapped. I mean, look at it. Croatia, their last three games were all overtime, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the last three games were all overtime. Those guys played like a game and a half extra. that's pretty amazing that they played so well, given I think if we've seen a Croatia that was rested for a week and a half, maybe we see a different team. I see a different game.
Ivan Rakitic ended up with the last game he played, he will have he played 44 or 45 games. On top of his, what is it, 38 La Liga games? So he's looking at close to 90 games that he played so far. I don't care what shape you're in or how young you are. Playing at that level, at that speed, that hard, that's going to take its toll.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of credit to that Croatian team. They played their hearts out. They left it all on the field. I got to say, if they had a week to rest, it would be a different game altogether. I don't think that. I think the result might be the same, but I think it's going to be France by a goal. France like 2-1 or 3-2, something like that. What a team! What spirit they had! Really impressed with them all. I mean, all of them. They came to play. So love it. Gotta love it.
Yeah, and I was very impressed. I was very impressed with them, with Belgium. We mentioned England. France finally showed up. It was an amazing World Cup. It was absolutely fantastic. That being said, on to our beer of the week. I happen to be enjoying Leinenkugel's Barry Weiss. Weiss, I don't even know how you say that. Weiss. Very, very berry-ish. Very refreshing. Not really a hard beer taste. This is a keeper. This is pretty good. I don't know why I'm on a Leinenkugel's kick, but this is, and it's 4.7, so you can drink a little bit of it without having to worry.
I can't believe it. A German Weiss beer, white beer. Oh, for crying out tears.
I know, it's not Guinness, right?
It's not Guinness, no. But I had, my beer of the week is a Mexican beer, Modelo Negra. And so it's a dark beer and really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Wow, it was a good beer. So that was my beer of the week.
Yeah, I have a fondness for dark beers. So I don't know why I'm drinking a white one, but this one's good.
Well, you're just commiserating that your Germans didn't, your German team didn't get out of the group stage.
About this, I'm first generation here in the U.S. So if I was a lot younger and could actually play the game, I would have my choice of playing for the U.S. or Italy. Neither side was in the World Cup.
Well, you know, like we talked about this before, the Italian team, I think they're just too old. They just got too many old players. It's, you know, they have all the skill and everything. It's, well, you know what, the competition in Europe is so intense
Oh, it's
and
phenomenal.
so ferocious that, you know, you got to be on the top of your game. It's not like playing Trinidad and Tobago, okay? I mean, Italy comes here and plays in CONCACAF. It's like not losing a game in like the last 50 years. It's like guaranteed they're in every year. Yeah, so you know they're in the toughest area to play, and you know, and when you have an older team, which they do, even when I say older, I mean I'm not even talking like 36, 37 years old is old. You're just can't keep up with those young legs, and so we'll
And
see
so
them
we'll
back.
see
They'll
they'll
be
be back.
back
They'll
in
be
the
back in the
next 4
next 4
years.
years.
You'll
You'll
see
see
them
them
coming
coming
back.
back.
USA, heck, you could probably qualify for the team right now. They're so bad.
Be honest, I don't know if I want to.
You got nepotism up the rear end with the Bradleys and Brady or whatever. Brady's no. No, I'm not even going to say that because Tom Brady is a world-class athlete.
Well,
And
that's true.
Bradley's in there because of his dad. And you know, Bradley's not actually half decent player, but crying out tears. Your dad's the head coach. Come on.
It was a disaster. And speaking of disasters, let's talk about our present. How about that? How am I getting good at this or what? Huh? I'm learning from the best.
Not much segue.
That was a good one. I was trying. Let's talk a little bit about your president, my president, and who's apparently now the world's president, and Putin. How'd you think that went?
You know what? I'm gonna have to go onto Google and find a Russian, the Lazy Le Blue. I'm gonna have to go find the Ale 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 Putin. Ale 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 Putin.
What'd you think?
What did I think? It's okay. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna make a statement here. That by tomorrow, no, by Wednesday, Fox News will have covered this all up, and there'll be some gigantic Democratic mess that they'll be focusing on, and this will be blown away.
Well, they already had an interview with Putin earlier today. So you already know where that's going. I can honestly say this was absolutely one of the worst things I've ever seen a president ever do. Now, mind you, I'm 50, so you know the first 10 or 12 years, you really don't pay much attention, maybe even more. But I don't know what this guy's problem is. I don't know if he is absolutely so terrified of a man that he doesn't know what to do. Because he doesn't act this way. Whenever he's around Merkel, or he talks about Hillary or any of the female senators. But whenever he's around Putin, whenever he's around, what's his name in North Korea, whenever he's around dictators, I don't know if he is such a small man that he is incapable of standing up and saying, "You will not attack my country ever again," or "You just won't attack it if it's North Korea," or if he's just so enamored with how these people govern and he looks at it as a role model and all he wants to do is kiss their ass so he can do things the way they do. Either way, it's a fucking disgrace to see how this person behaved himself, both in when he went to the UK and what he did today.
Okay.
And this
Well,
is not a political thing. This is not a liberal conservative thing. This is sickening.
So let's back up with the UK. We'll come back to the UK because that's a real testament of character. But I want to go to your statement about what it is with him and these leaders. Now, I think that there is a degree of he idolizes some of these guys like Kim Jong-un and Putin. I think there's an idolization, but I think that more reason, I think more rationally, when you look, you got to follow the money. And so what does Putin have that makes him cower and cowtail and do these things? What he has something. He has something over him. Now, when we talk about like in martial arts with a classic bully, the classic bully always picks on the weak. That when they're confronted with someone strong, that they never act that way when they're dealing with someone of equal strength. And then when they finally pick on somebody who's, looks weak but then stands up to them and fights them, then the bully backs down. It's a classic case. Now, is he afraid of Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un as men? Possibly. He's possibly afraid of them because he knows what these guys are. So he could be terrified. And because he's a bully, he's a coward. And so he cowtails. That could be. But I think more ra I think for me, I think that Putin has something over him, that he's Putin has something in his pocket, an ace in the hole that he's going to call out if Trump doesn't behave. And so I think we're seeing, I don't know what it is, but the behavior sure does seem like a man who is under somebody's thumb.
That doesn't describe or really explain how he is with Kim Jong-un. That describes Putin, but it doesn't describe anybody in North Korea.
But Kim Jong-un may be just a completely different segment. I mean, Kim Jong-un got his country up to a powerful state where they could actually, their rockets could actually reach America and blow up Chicago and blow up Pittsburgh and blow up Vancouver. So he now is in a position of power. But I didn't see, in that circumstance, I actually saw the president looking to try to normalize relationships and to stop the hostility. I actually thought that, for me at least, I kind of thought that was he was on the right end on that one. Now, is Kim Jong-un a dictator? Yeah, sure. Well, what are we going to do? I mean, we're not going to send in the Marines and try to take him out. We're not going to start World War III. So you got to deal with the man who's got the power. And he went there and he dealt with them. And I think that with Kim Jong-un, I think it was effective. But we didn't see him doing what he's doing now in Russia. I think it's two different cases.
Well, he gets on the Twitter like a 12-year-old girl with her first cell phone. Yeah, I'm gonna keep using that line too, by the way. I'm not gonna give that one up. That's a good line. He gets on Twitter with like the little 12-year-old girl, and he's calling him Rocket Man, Little Rocket Man, everything. You can just read it. He gets there and totally kisses the guy's ass. You had him just recently, and I know we're gonna go back on it, but talking about how Merkel's controlled by Russia or whatever it is, she's their slave or some stupid shit like that. And there he is with her in the same room, and he kisses her ass. He's in England, and he gets on the he has that interview with the newspaper where he's calling out what's their prime minister's name? Why am I drawing a blank?
Previously.
Well, he's calling out the prime minister. She didn't listen to him. She blew the whole Brexit thing. It's going to have a severely negative effect on how we trade with them. And next day, here he is standing at a podium with her, and he's questioned on something, and he kisses her ass. So,
well, that's his MO. I mean, he does it all the time. I mean, anybody who's looked at him and watched him over the years, he comes out with all these, you know, big statements and, you know, blah, blah. And then when he's face to face, he's, you know, congenial, he's thanking, you know, it's he's a different person. Part of me feels that that's just makeup. That's how he operates. You know, and I don't, you know, like this thing, let's get back to with what he did with Putin. And, you know, the real hard questions that are being raised, which I think that right now it's bipartisan, but again, by Wednesday, we're not going to, Fox News will have this all cleared up. Sean Hannity will have this all wiped away, but, you know, he is the number one man now at Fox News, but by Wednesday, we're going to hear this. But the big issue is that, what, in terms of legality, what laws has he broken? I mean, he's basically, you know, Russia has interfered in the election. It's confirmed. There's 12 Russians that are indicted. Putin's gonna say, they're, you know, they don't belong to me, they're rogue, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's going to make all his positioning. But the fact of the matter is that they were Russian, they interfered with the election. And then the president goes and says that both sides are at fault.
Well, he was Putin.
How could both sides be at fault? Well, we're wrong because we didn't have enough security protections?
He actually came out, and the one reporter asked him, you know, who do you believe? And he flat out said he believes Putin. He believes the guy who is in charge of the 12 Russians who've just been indicted, because they're all generals or colonels or whatever. You know, the only person these clowns are listening or reporting to or taking orders from is Putin. Nobody there does things on their own. He says, no, I asked him. He didn't do it, and that's all I can do is ask. You kidding me? That's all I can do is ask? Because you fight harder than that trying to get out of a traffic ticket. All I can do is ask. What the hell's wrong with you? This is your country. These are your people. These are the people that you're supposed to be supporting and the people you're supposed to be representing. And the best I can do is ask.
Okay. And I'm going to segue there. But before I do, I want to show a difference between South Carolina and Pennsylvania, way up north where you are. Okay? Just before I do the segue. So, as you can see, it is dark. We are dark here. Mm-hmm. But look out your window. Behind you, you still see sunlight.
Well, the sun always shines on Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. We're going to go there. Go segue now into the people. So when he was in England, he met with the Queen. Now, first, he broke so many etiquette. And don't tell me that he didn't know. He is briefed up the wazoo onto what he's supposed to do when he meets the Queen. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. That's the point, that he didn't do it. You're supposed to bow or curtsy, okay? Come on. It's the Queen of England. Why wouldn't you? Because we're American. You know, we don't bow down. Come on. Are you that? I'm getting into the ignoramuses of the world, but in the idiocracy. But you meet the Queen, you show respect. It's like we do in the dojo. You show respect.
I was just going to say, he's never stepped foot on a martial arts floor. We bow the pictures, for God's sake.
Yeah. You're in a foreign country. You show respect to that sovereign leader. And if that requires a bow, you bow. You know, they'll say, oh, the American president never bows. You know what? Take your old white farty ass and go die already, for crying out loud. You know, this isn't... You know, the 18th century called. They want their people back. Go, please, go. So he blew. But then the worst of it all for me was when he left the queen behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, it's the queen, okay. But second of all, it's an old lady. Now, don't you have the common decency to not walk in front of an old lady?
Apparently not.
Come on. I mean, it's just, even if she wasn't the queen, you wouldn't do it because she's an old lady and you got to respect her.
Well, yeah, I mean, we would. And I'd like to think that everybody that we've trained, you know, would do that, would have the same attitude. Maybe you're nervous and
well,
it's like,
you know
start
what?
Walking, oh, geez.
The people that you and I have trained, but there's a lot of other people out there, people who are gung-ho supporters of this president, who will say that he did the right thing. Americans bow to nobody. Americans wait for nobody. We're America. They come to us. You know, and they believe, they'll say that from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And all I got to do is say to you, watch a South Park episode of that when Randy Moss became the white guy renovating houses. And that exactly showed you what we're dealing with people here. I mean, it's a perfect. They do is perfect. They portrayed those people perfectly. What they and you know, you watch like if you watch. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Idiocracy, but it's basically a portrayal of you know of people just becoming dumb and dumber, and because there's no education and. All you ever watch is reality shows and the level of it. And soon, you know, a WWE wrestler is the president. Okay. And so, but it makes a great point. And that point is that, you know, as our society kind of falls into this reality TV show mentality, people like the Donald Trump are going to come and actually gain power that will allow them to do things like this and completely embarrass the entire country on so many levels in both England and Russia.
Well, you know, you make a good point. I'm very seldom at a loss for words, but this whole trip did two things. It showed how ignorant somebody can be, regardless of their, I don't want to say status or social status, but their position. And number two, it showed his true character. Not that there was any question before that, because all you had to do was pay attention. But it really showed this clown's character and what he's made of, and I'm not very happy with it. You know, we said how many times. It really doesn't matter what your political view is. It really doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. Good policy always stands the test of time. Strong, good, smart laws, policy, direction, directives always stand the changing climate, the changing of your country. Garbage is always pushed away. It's always thrown out to the side of the road. This guy's legacy is garbage. and he's not even 2 years in. There is no positive legacy coming out of this. There's no good.
Okay. So
there's nothing.
But the victors write history. And right now, the Republicans, the GOP, Donald Trump are the victors. They're going to write history, and they're going to have a lot of loyal supporters behind them. And they are not going to write the history of him being president. It's going to become, he's going to become the next Ronald Reagan. He's going to be praised and glorified and everything. I just look at some of the comments that are being posted on social media. Look at Fox News. I mean, I would ask you to watch Fox News for 2 hours. Please take some ibuprofen, drink plenty of beer. But watch Fox News for 2 hours, and believe me, you will come away from those 2 hours thinking, "Oh, well, maybe they got a point." They are that news outlet is so focused on their messaging. It's really amazing. They really do a great job of pushing their propaganda out. Now, you know, if anybody's listening and they're like, well, what about CNN? You know, they do the same thing. Yeah, you're right. CNN does the exact same thing. And in fact, if you take somebody who just watches CNN for 24 hours, you take somebody who watches Fox for 24 hours and put them into a room, well, they'll probably both come out. They'll both be dead. They'll probably kill each other. That's how polarized things have become. And this polarization is bad in a number of ways. Because look at England. You know, Trump goes there. Okay, first of all, here's a tremendous opportunity. England is leaving the European Union. They have no one to trade with. So where can they turn? They can turn to the United States. Who does the United States have to trade with? Well, right now we're like doing our best to burn every bridge that we possibly can. So why not use the UK? Why can't we help each other? What a great opportunity this would be for the two countries to come together with a real meaningful economic union. You know, of course, if we start trading, Canada's going to jump in, and Australia jump in, and New Zealand will jump in. You know, get all the Commonwealth back together, and it's like, hey, sun never sets on the English Empire.
The band's back together.
but the reality is that we're so basic common business sense, which would say, look at the opportunity that we have with England right now with Brexit. We should be like all over them, trying to open up doors and channels, and you know, they got a huge, huge market for us to come in and exploit. And they can then send their stuff over to us, and what a win-win for everybody. And of course, you know what, it just, but then we're over there snubbing the Queen, acting like idiots, going up to Scotland, saying, oh, Scotland voted to be, you know, a free country. You know, not even understanding what idiocracy.
It is. And it doesn't get any better when you realize that you're dealing with a person who simply cares about himself. He's shown nothing to convince me and basically any other reasonable, rational human being that I know. Granted, around here there aren't many, that this guy's not in it for anybody but himself.
Okay. What else do you expect? He's a rich white man these rich white people live in gated communities. These gated communities have their own supermarkets, their own gas stations, so they don't have to go outside their gated communities and deal with anybody on the outside. You know, it's a completely different world that these people live in. And you don't have to look far. Go to you're in Pennsylvania. Go to your Upper St. Clairs. Go to your Treesdales. Go and take a look at those communities. Those people are just like isolated in their little enclaves, like they've been watching that zombie movie, too many zombie movies, and they're like petrified at the world. It's ridiculous. The President Trump is out for one thing and one thing only. He wants his family, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren to never have to lift a finger to work ever again. And he's already done. It's already done. He's already gone. He's already mission accomplished. That's the very first thing. Look at the Bush family. Look at them. None of those Bushes will ever have to work for generations. That's the and guess who pays for all that? That's your taxpayer money. For every dime that you earn, for that $15 an hour that you're working for, that's going to him. And what really blows my mind is that these idiots on Facebook and these idiots on social media and these clowns who are making $20, $25, $35 an hour, right, are loving this guy. And this guy, behind when he gets into closed rooms with his other white rich people, laugh at him. And nobody understands that. They laugh at these people. Look at these sheep that we are herding, and look at they're doing for us. They're paying for everything. We got it made in the shade. And these people don't even see that. They can't even see that they're being laughed at. And then they're laughing at them. They're laughing at them. And they're well, you know what? And then they look at a person like me who calls them out. It says a little, well, you're just a libtard. Okay, fine. You call me what you want to call me, but at least I'm not a sheep. At least I'm not some idiot who's so blind, who's blindly following the propaganda leaders, what they say. I'm going off. I'm really going off here, but it's true. Unfortunately, it's true because I know a lot of these people, and I know what they're like, and I've seen what they're like. And to even want to fraternalize or be part of that group, well, okay, wait, actually, let me take that back. Let me take that back. Rush Limbaugh did say one good thing. He wrote in his book, and I got to give him credit for this, because he wrote in his book that it's not a crime to become rich. And he's right. It's not a crime. That's what we have in this country. You have the opportunity to make the most that you can make, become as rich as you can be. That's fine. He was right about that. But there comes a point when you got to remember where you came from. If you came from a silver spoon in your mouth, you never had to work for anything, where everything was given to you. Your mommy or daddy created a company that you're just sucking on the teeth on, or that you had a bunch of great networking friends and you never had to worry about a day in your life. Well, when you rise to that power, then you don't know, you don't have any, you just become one of the other mindless faces. But if you do come from someone who's worked hard and worked and built everything to get to where you're at, you can't forget where you're from, because I'm going to say Phyllis Lee said this perfectly. You meet the same people going down that you meet going up.
I only disagree with one thing he said. I don't think he gives a damn about his family. He's more interested in himself. I don't think he cares about his family, his kids. I don't think he gives a shit. He hasn't shown that yet. I think he's solely in it for himself. And that's it. That's it.
Well, and you could be right. You could be right. But that's, yeah, I'll say that, yeah, I agree. That could be absolutely right. By the way, my comment about Phyllis Lee, just for people who don't know, Phyllis Lee was a manager of wrestlers and MMA fighters back in the olden days, back in the early 80s, 90s. She was the one who, she was my manager when I was fighting. She was also Dan Severin's fight manager when he first started out in MMA. And he started out, he was actually on the same card that I was when he fought Al Severin, whose professional wrestling name was Al Snow. And he got discovered by Art Davey and then brought into the UFC where he fought Royce Gracie. Phyllis Lee was his manager. And Phyllis Lee has passed away, but just a little history. Dan, unfortunately, left Phyllis for greener pastures. Broke Phyllis's heart. Phyllis had, you know, she lived in a trailer. And, you know, she had nothing. And, you know, she was a great woman. She was always, I never left her. She was always my manager up until I retired. And great woman. So when I said that reference about her and that comment that she made,
that's a great slash heartbreaking story. But kudos for giving her the shout out. That was tremendous.
Yeah, just a shout out. Yeah, you know, Dan, he's a good man. There's no. He was moving on. He had to get somebody bigger and better to help him with his management. I mean, it's part of business, part of life. But, you know, Phyllis was a great lady. And, you know, she means a lot to me. She really does. And I miss her. She was a good friend, very sincere friend.
You don't meet too many people that is like that in your life. So,
no. Good for you. And we'll wait, and I'm going to try to segue this over to martial arts now. Pulling us into martial arts.
Okay, well, I've had worse. That's pretty good.
So, all right. So, we take a look at this mindset of Trump with the queen. And, you know, I'm not bowing. I'm not curtsying. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to wait for her because I'm American, you know, and I'm. And then we see, I've seen some very disturbing videos on Facebook of angry old white men and angry white men just harassing minorities. One white man was verbally abusing a Latina woman, and another older white man was actually slapped an Asian man in a subway. This Asian man could have killed him if he wanted. But I bring this up because I think about martial arts, and I saw some posts. One of them's from a Korean Taekwondo master who goes, "Lucky he didn't slap me. It would have been a different outcome." And I know that, yes, it would have been a different outcome. You got a trained martial artist. If you get slapped, well, that person is done. You know, and it's going to be a lot of hurt. But then I thought to myself, well, is that what martial arts teaches us? It doesn't, you know, like I've always learned that there's no first strike in karate. So if you get slapped and you get up and then you start a confrontation, well, you're starting the first strike. Even though you know, you should have blocked the slap to begin with, but I mean, the guy was blindsided. He didn't see it coming. So you know, when we look at things like this, what if you are a martial artist, you get up and then you just break the guy's arm, you pummel him, you make him submit, you make him cry, you make him, you know, give him pain and break things. And that makes you feel good at in the moment. Well, then what about after the police come? And then after the guy gets a lawyer, and then they find out that you're a martial arts instructor and you're a martial arts master, and they find out that you're basically a lethal weapon. And that, you know, even though you got struck first, you then retaliated. You always lose when you retaliate. We talk about that all the time in soccer. You retaliate, you lose. You'll always lose when you retaliate. And so you get up and you retaliate. You know, what's the judge going to say? Who's going to get thrown in jail? Who's going to have to pay the fine? What's going to end up that guy, the martial arts instructor, don't you think?
You know, one of the first seminars that Nick ever went to with me, with my Grandmaster Pellegrini. Nick asked him flat out, he was still taking Taekwondo at the time, and he was just about ready for his first stand test. And he asked Grandmaster, he said, what's the best kick defense that you have? And I think he meant what was your favorite, but yeah, he was younger. And he asked him, what's the best kick defense that you have? And the old man looked at him and said, don't be there. And everybody kind of chuckled, and he told Nick, you want to be the best defender of kicks there is. You want to be the person who never gets punched. Don't be there. And you'll never get hit. And you'll never get punched. And a lot of that is holds true. You want to be the person that doesn't take that first strike. Don't allow that first strike to happen. It doesn't matter how you make it not happen. Just make sure it doesn't happen. However, if you do get hit, or if you are the victim at that point, you're not going to stay the victim. You're going to get your opportunity. I mean, unless you're knocked out. At some point, you need to practice restraint. You need to say, either this guy's had enough, or if I keep going, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to break something, and that's not what I want to do. Because you're absolutely right. What's going to happen whenever the people who are in authority find out what your credentials are? And this is just some clown who his ego got a little bit bigger than his brain. Well, that's you. You're done. You're and deservedly so. You deserve it at that point because you know better. You've been trained better. You still chose to out-knucklehead the knucklehead. So you're going to get whatever you got coming, and you deserve it. You can't whine or complain or claim being a victim. That's my opinion.
So, yeah, it's really, I like it. Don't situation awareness. Don't be there. Get out. I think about if I was in that seat, the guy being abused, what to do? Get out. Get up, walk away.
Just leave.
You're going to get harassed. Guys will probably follow you. They're going to yell at you. He's going to mock you. And you know what? Sticks and stones. It's easy, but it's not easy. Not easy at all to walk away. If you've ever been in a situation where you walked away and had people openly mock you and deride you, call you the filthiest thing you can imagine, you know how much it hurts, because you just want to turn and just engage. But you have to keep going. And that's not easy to do. Not easy at all. If you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other thing I look at is, what about the person who is watching this? So somebody obviously was filming it because they had their cell phone. And so what if I was there and I saw the guy get slapped? What would I have done as a third party? I think at that point, then I think it is, and this is kind of, I don't want to hear your opinion. I think it is my responsibility to go in and stop it, because the situation is escalating and it's time to put an end to it. And then to get in front of the aggressor and say, you've done enough. We need to shut up now. We need to move away. Let's go over here. What you're doing is wrong. Part of me feels like by doing that, now you know, even though you're taking on responsibility, if this person doesn't want to you know, listen to you or accept your position there, your authority, and then they strike out at you, now as a martial artist, you can move because they struck you. They swung at you, they did something, grabbed you, or whatever. Now we can use everything in our arsenal to subdue that guy. Well, give me your thoughts on that.
I can't tell you how many knuckleheads over the years has taken a swing at me. You know, you do not do anything which makes you become the aggressor. You always do enough to make that, to equal that force that's coming at you. You meet it with the same force. And whenever we train the police departments or sheriffs or whoever it is, all these entities follow what's known as a use of force continuum. And some of them are circles, some of them are triangles. Some of them get real involved. But in layman's terms, you're supposed to meet force with equal amount of force. In other words, if somebody comes at you barehanded and takes a swing at you, you're not supposed to take a step back, pull out your gun, and take their head off. Okay, you're supposed to meet force with force. Supposed to. As a martial artist, you kind of have to look at things the same way, right? If some knucklehead's coming at me, he's drunk off his ass, or he's having a bad day, or he's in a bad mood, or he's just an asshole. Do I want to sit there and just beat him into the ground? Well, yeah, I might want to. I'll be honest, I might want to. Doesn't mean I'm going to or I should. You know, I'm going to do enough to influence his decisions and either allow him to go on his way or make a decision for him that he's not going to walk away. He's going to stay here, whether it's against his will or not, and have somebody in authority come and take him away for me. As far as being that third person in, the same rule kind of applies, right? You do your best to non-escalate or de-escalate a situation. Sometimes that situation escalates far quicker than you can react. And, you know, you've been there. These things turn on the blink of an eye. Sometimes it builds up pretty slow, and you have time to engage and say, hey, look, guys, this isn't the time or place to do it. I always try to, whenever I'm in that position, to not only address the person who's being the aggressor, but to address both of them almost equally and say, you know, you guys aren't going to do this here. You know, let's calm down. Come on, I'll buy a drink, or, you know, depending on what it is, just start verbally de-escalating everything that's going on. Try not to grab anybody and start moving them. But, you know, every situation is different. Every time you get into that situation, you have no idea what the outcome is going to be, so you got to be ready. But you don't just, you know, start pounding on the idiot whenever he turns on you, because he's probably going to turn on you. He's either going to comply and say, yeah, you're right, and walk away, and I'm being very, very, very simplistic, or he's going to tell you to go do something to yourself, and he's going to turn on you. So you got to be ready for it all.
And, you know, that's what the beauty of the arts of Hapkido and Aikido enable, is the ability to subdue somebody quickly with various locks. You know, when we do studying like Shotokan or Taekwondo or Tangsudo, a lot of striking, but, you know, Hapkido and Aikido are different ways of approaching the art. It's funny because, as you know, I'm a hockey referee, and, you know, in hockey, it's actually kind of funny. You actually let the two hit each other for a little bit, get and blow some steam off. And as a referee, you kind of sit there and watch, and then you always pick the winner as the person that you're going to pull off. And
I'm
those are.
not saying that the guy who got hit first, I'm going to jump in there right away and break it up. I mean, I may maybe intentionally kind of react a little slow and give the guy a chance to hit him back before I get in there. But, that's
Yeah.
what I might do, but that's not what I'm going to tell everybody that I did.
And it's funny when you're on skates trying to apply Aikido or Hapkido moves. Yeah. That's a whole different ball game.
Shows you how good your balance really is, huh?
Thank goodness, I was a former champion figure skater, so. What was Brian Boitano do? I don't know. So you missed that. Well, this is a good talk. So, Trump versus segment. I'm going to go this week. I want Trump to have a rematch with President Vladimir Putin. And what do you think is going to happen in this rematch?
I think you can give Trump, you can have him face him 10 times and he's not going to have a chance any of those 10 times. I'll do you one better. You could almost call it a 50-50 draw if you took Trump at his prime versus Putin right at this age.
Oh, it wouldn't even be 50-50. Trump still kick his butt.
I know, I was being nice. I was trying to throw that one to you because,
So,
I'm always the guy that says Trump's going to lose. So I was trying to give you some,
what's
trying to
going
give
to
you some
happen in this
insight.
match?
I'm sorry?
Well, Putin's going to play with him.
You
So,
think?
oh yeah, Putin's going to take him down, going to hold him down. Putin's going to take his shirt off and then make Trump marvel at his manliness and his physique. And then he's going to make Trump say, "You're the best. You're the
He's going to start curling a log and tell him to look at this.
All right, so Trump gets squashed this week. Squashed and spanked and
He wouldn't have much of a chance. He really wouldn't. I mean, Putin's a beast. He really is. And the guy is trained. I mean, the guy knows Aikido. I don't know if he holds rank, or I mean, he probably does because he's not going to tell me. He's going to tell him he failed. He's going to tell him, no, you're not ready for your black belt. I mean, I'm goofy. I ain't that goofy. The guy's trained. He knows how to handle himself.
Oh,
I
yeah.
wouldn't put it past him.
He knows how to handle himself. There would be no contest. When I look at him, he's a sambo expert. He's a judo expert. He would be really tough. Really tough for anybody to take.
Gives you a lot of confidence too.
Yeah, he would be a tough match.
Yeah, but it would be tough for Trump. Wouldn't be so tough for Putin. It would be over
Would
quick.
he be playing with them?
Yeah, it would either go on forever or it would be over quick. I really think it depends on
He'd
his
take him
mood and.
down and he'd make him cry and he'd have some fun. The second match, he would definitely have some fun
Because he wouldn't learn.
with
He
him.
wouldn't learn. That's something. The guy's something else. So, what do you got? I'm almost afraid to ask what tomorrow's going to bring. The way this week's gone. It hasn't even been a week. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, so tomorrow is going to bring Fox News and they're going to get their marching orders and they are going to completely smoke screen this. It's going to be completely tomorrow by Wednesday we will have forgotten about this fiasco and it'll be something new. It'll be something against the Democrats or Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton or something like that. They will distract.
Yeah, you're probably right. They're gonna spin the. They don't even spin anymore. It's not even spin. They're just a dream world over there. It really is. It or state-run news. It really is.
Yep.
That's the way it is. Whenever you're your best friends with the guy in charge of Fox News. You know, you can tell him whatever you want.
Good for well, you, but, you know what? Sean Hannity calls the president every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know that? He calls him every day to talk about the, you know, whatever situation it is. And Sean Hannity has all the best. Sean Hannity runs Fox News right now.
Oh, yeah, he does. Absolutely. How about that, huh? That's pretty good. That's amazing. Okay. That's amazing. And people take this shit seriously. They see what these clowns are doing and how they're acting, and the total lack of, at this point, they're just, don't even try to hide it. And people just go along with it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong.
There is, well, unfortunately, it's the people that's, they got the power.
Everybody who watches that channel, their vote counts as much as yours and mine does. And yet, they look at what's going on over there and they don't see anything wrong with it. I don't get it. I really don't. Well, sir, I think we took up enough of everybody's time. At least enough to make people talk. At least I hope so.
You know what I really like about this podcast is that your background went from sunny to dark. It's finally dark up there in the great white north of Pennsylvania, Newcastle, where you're at. It's been dark here for quite a while, but, you know, I like that. I like kind of watching the background, how your sun faded.
You like that? I like when it's dark in Newcastle. That's when Newcastle gets interesting.
That's when your future mayor hits the streets.
Yeah, that's what he gets when he lets it all go.
We have to do the Newcastle segment. So, oh, by the way, before we go, I am going to restart the Hokkaido series of history on our next podcast.
Okay.
And I am going to keep track of what we'll talk about. So, unfortunately, kind of, we were all over the place for the last first few episodes. And so I'm going to start again, and this time I'm going to keep track of what we talk about as we go along. Because there's so many fascinating things that we want to hit as we talk about the history of Hokkaido. So the next episode, we're going to start again. And that should give everybody reason to want to listen to next Sunday's podcast.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I take great joy in your history segments. So. Okay, sir. I will talk to you sometime during the week, hopefully.
Thanks, sir.
Until then, have a good week. And well, before I forget, everybody, please, if you haven't subscribed, please do so. Click that subscribe button. Click that bell. So everybody knows whenever we get back on. And don't forget to listen to our podcast. We're basically on every podcasting app you could think of. We're everywhere. We're like everywhere.
And big shout out to Miss Kelly Labor.
Labor, Miss Kelly Labor, our very first patron. Patron. But however the hell you say it. But thank you very much, Kelly. It was very kind, very nice of you. We will we'll do our best to make you feel that you're your donation was worthwhile, we promise. And, don't forget, if you'd like to join her on our Patreon, please do. God knows we could use the money. All right, sir. I'll talk to you sometime during the week.
Sounds good. All right. Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.